Hi, welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. I'm Charlotte.
I'm Chris.
And we are the Pleasure Mechanics.
And on this podcast, we give you expert advice, soulful conversation, and some good humor once in a while to assist you in creating the sex life that you long for. Come on over to pleasuremechanics.com, explore our complete podcast archive, and while you are there, please feel free, feel encouraged to sign up for the Erotic Essentials. It is our free online course that guides you in creating a healthy foundation for a fabulous sex life. And when you are ready to master new erotic skills, check out our other online courses that guide you stroke by stroke in things like couples massage, foreplay, butt play, erotic spanking, kinky sex, and our newest course, Mindful Sex. That's all about getting out of your head and into your body, learning how to focus during sex, enhance your arousal, and optimize your sexual experience through the practice of mindfulness. It's a delightful course. I love having it there for you. I even teach the erotic breathwork skills that I've talked about so often on this podcast and have never found a home for. Erotic breathwork has found its home in our Mindful Sex course. And to me, these are the most underestimated, most powerful tools to have in your sexual toolbox is learning erotic breathwork. And won't you breathe with me? Come on over to Mindful Sex and explore it for yourself and see if it's a good fit. Okay, in this episode, we are going to be talking about jealousy and arousal. And this episode was inspired by a letter we received from one of our listeners. Charlotte's going to get us started by reading that letter, and then we are going to jump off into the pool of jealousy, arousal, erections, evolutionary biology, and more. All right. Here is the email we received.
Yes, there is no name, so here we go. I want to start off by sharing my experience of arousal panic, which I have because of jealousy. Me and my girlfriend got together because she slept with somebody else. It was only then that I realized that she means much more to me than just the casual sex we had before, and I fought for her. Sometimes, during or before sex, I get flashbacks to that moment, and it feels so intense, imagining that she not only slept with somebody, but possibly enjoyed it. That the way she moans or breathes or moves her hips, she did for somebody else. We were not together, and I, even ignorantly of my own yet unknown feelings, encouraged her to explore others. So she did nothing wrong, but thinking of this, I cannot relax. And not being able to relax and let yourself go is a death sentence for maintaining or achieving an erection. What I did as a solution was very, very hard and took a lot of jumping over an abyss of insecurity when I told her plainly what I felt. Now, when I get into that state, I try focusing on her and why I love her and want to make love to her. She, of course, notices and tells me she loves only me and wants me. Then I start to feel safe again and our sex is great. The solution is therefore not centered on myself, but on us. After all, we do this together. Opening up to her brought us closer together and the sex became even more intimate and, believe it or not, wild. This I wanted to share in the hopes of encouraging men to tell their partners about their anxieties. It is a strength.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I love when emails contain the problem and the solution all in one. So this is a beautiful story and there's a lot of places to explore here. So I want to talk about arousal panic.
Yes, what it is.
I want to talk about how this is actually an example of mindful sex at work. And I want to talk about jealousy, arousal, anger, and erections.
And then some evolutionary biology, you promised.
Oh, yes. So just quickly to point out how this is a pattern of mindful sex. So he became aware of a disconnect between his emotions and the physical state he wanted to be in for sex, and how his emotions were impacting his physical performance. And this is more obvious in bodies with penises, because you can notice really quickly how hard you are. But it happens for all of us. When there is a disconnect between where our brain is and where our body is trying to go, it can really slam the brakes on arousal and interest in sex and enjoyment of sex. And by becoming aware of this pattern and then being honest, opening up, and letting his partner in, he is in the process of reconditioning his brain to focus on his body, his arousal, his present moment, rather than the past. So he is bringing himself into the present through an embodied practice of mindful sex. So I'm going to send this guy an enrollment to mindful sex, because he just already won a gold star. Okay. So that's just an interesting perspective on it, and the pattern here of when you feel totally disconnected from the sexual experience, sometimes there's things from our past or an anxiety in our brain that is creating that disconnect. And mindful sex is one of the ways we heal that rift. Okay. So arousal panic. So arousal panic is one way of talking about the anxieties that can peak very quickly when we start to get aroused, or when we start to get aroused in a certain way or by a certain stimulus. And it speaks to the experience of, as sexual energy is building in your body, the brain starts misfiring and creating anxiety for any number of reasons. Often this anxiety is rooted in past experiences. So humiliation, being shamed, past trauma, body shame, fear, any of these emotions that tell your body it is not safe to become aroused right now can quickly shut down the sexual experience for men or for women. So we hear this often from men who have been shamed or humiliated about their sexual performance or about their penis size. And I want women to hear this again, because we need to take it seriously. Often when a couple is breaking up and they're trying to just hurt one another and burn down the bridge, women will say some hurtful thing about you and your small flaccid cock or something like that, or you never satisfied me anyway, or you were always terrible in bed. When men hear these attacks on their sexuality, on their masculinity, it can often get internalized. And then with their next partner, who's ready and exciting and willing, as soon as their arousal starts building, they hear those voices, they feel that humiliation and shame again, and it cuts off the erection. This is like shame-based erectile dysfunction. And it's important to know that a lot of men have problems with erection, and most of those problems are not physical.
They're emotional in nature.
Yes, there are medical conditions that can cause erectile dysfunction.
Absolutely.
Circulation issues, diabetes, all of these things. But the vast majority of cases of men who report erectile dysfunction, it is psychological in nature, and it's this stuff. It's arousal panic, it's arousal anxiety, it's shame, it's concern over performance, and this is the stuff we need to heal, right? And it happens for women too, but we don't have that visual kind of
barometer.
Vroom, vroom. You know, we can't tell quickly how aroused or not we are, but women who become disinterested in sex, who are not getting engorged, because women get erections too, remember, we have just as much erectile tissue as men, it's just situated differently, and so we don't have that quick visual check. And we also, many of us, don't have the skill to really check in with our pelvis, to really check in with our genitals and see, are we aroused? How are we feeling? And this emerges in studies where they show women pornography and all of the machinery they've attached in the laboratory is showing arousal, but women will self-report, no, I'm not turned on at all. This arousal discordance, they call it, between what the body is doing, where your mind is at, is a problem for so many of us. And this doesn't even have to be anxiety. It can just be distraction, stress.
Well, judgment is a huge one.
So this man's experience, let's just break it down to the next step. So he was really into this woman. They were having casual sex. They thought it didn't mean anything. Reference our previous episode about intimacy. It's very key here. And he encouraged her to sleep with other people. And then he realized how jealous he was of that and that she actually meant a lot to him. And he fought for her.
I love that.
Oh, I love that and I hate it, right? It's like patriarchal and misogynist in all these ways about women being possessions and men fight over them. But I think what he meant is he asked for a relationship. And they revealed to each other their true feelings and they got in a relationship. Now when they go to have sex and he starts getting turned on or see her getting turned on, he's triggered back to the jealousy of her past partners. Again, this is very common. A lot of guys obsess about their female partner's sexual pasts. Why? And why does it create such intense physiological responses? And what can we choose to do with those responses? So this is where the evolutionary biology comes in. Okay, so the theory is it's about mate selection and it's about reproductive advantage. But there is a strong theory, and it's just a theory, it's not a fact, but evolutionary biologists report that men get aroused at the idea of their female partners with other men. And this explains the group gangbangs pornography that many men enjoy, the like cum shot montages in pornography that many men enjoy. Seeing penises in porn turns men on. It spikes testosterone to see other men's erections.
Straight men, we're talking, I mean, all men, but we're talking about straight men.
All men. And so, you know, this question of why is the porn straight men look at full of penises? Should that not be so? It should just all be, you know, lesbians and women and or point of view porn where, you know, you don't see the man, but straight porn is full of erect penises. The sight of other men getting aroused, getting erect, turns men on, perhaps because it signals to them that there is a fertile female in the picture and it shoots their testosterone up, it gets them turned on so they can then feel ready to be part of that reproduction, right? And evolutionary biology, it tries to explain human behavior by what would have made sense for the species to survive and evolve. It is not the truth. It is one perspective of looking at human behavior.
So the idea is there that the biology of looking at penises helps get your sperm strong and powerful and virile so that hopefully your sperm is the one, even though there's tons of men there with tons of sperm, that your sperm is the one that makes her pregnant.
Or the feeling of your female partner having slept with other people, that mental image will spike your arousal. And now they're putting guys in fMRI machines, functional magnetic resonance imagery, I think I got that right. And seeing what parts of the brain are triggered by sexual jealousy. And those early studies are reporting that the male brain is affected by sexual jealousy in very different ways than the female brain. And the male brain responds with arousal and the place of like the neurotransmitters for testosterone light up. Okay. So now we need to look at the word arousal. Because arousal can mean a few different things. The upregulating of your physiology can be translated into sexual arousal. I get hard, I get turned on, I get ready to have sex. Or it can be processed as anger or anxiety. Those are all upregulations of the nervous system. And so for different men, this gets interpreted by the brain in different ways. And so for some men, the idea of jealousy gets them super turned on, super aroused. It almost becomes a fugue state. And the extreme of this is cuckolding, where men want to watch their wife, their partner, have sex with other men, or fantasize about it, or have her talk about other men and other men's hard cocks while they're fucking. For some guys, this gets them really, really aroused and turns them on in all the right ways. Great. for other men, and we don't know why different men interpret this in different ways. It probably has a lot to do with attachment styles and psychological things, but other men interpret this as anger, and they get very angry and even possibly physically violent when thinking about their female partners with other people. This needs to be monitored and watched and kept in control. And other men get anxiety and shame and humiliation. And this is the emotional state that can really interrupt the erection. Right? And so we have the same process happening in the brain with different physiological expressions of that. Do you get hard and aroused? Do you get angry and want to fight? Or do you get shame-based, humiliation-based, fearful, anxious,
sad,
lose your erection, withdrawal emotionally, and want to disappear? Right? And this is kind of the freeze, flight, fight model.
You're right.
In a way, yeah. Right? Or the fuck, flight, freeze. But I think it's really important for guys to know that jealousy is going to work your system up. And then you can choose, you can become more mindful of how you interpret that information and how you process it. And I've worked with some men over the years who were able to flip the switch when they were given permission to get turned on by jealousy, when they were given that space of like, oh, you're feeling a lot of things. Why don't you focus that into being aroused and being a good lover and lavishing your lover with attention? When they were given that permission, they were able to go from it makes me really angry to it makes me really horny. And in this case, he did the work of noticing he was feeling vulnerable and unloved and unworthy, naming that to his partner, saying he was feeling jealous, and then she completed that circuit by looking at him and saying, "It's only you, baby. I want your cock. I love you and only you." And that gave him the emotional security to then get aroused by this, process that excitement, and have great wild sex together.
Well done. So beautiful.
Brava.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we need that external circuit to be completed. Some of this work can be done internally, where you notice what you're feeling, you notice the pattern of how your emotions affect your sexual experience. And then you can choose what to do with those feelings. And in the Mindful Sex course, we talk about this of embodying your emotions. So you notice, I'm feeling stressed. How does that make me feel during sex? I'm feeling sad. How does that make me feel? Where do I feel it in my body? What do I need to do with that? How do I process that? And in this case, he did that work of saying, this is my emotional experience. My dick's not getting hard. I really want to be with you. This is how I'm feeling. And in that process, was able to transform his physical experience. And it's an ongoing process. Notice he didn't say, I said this once and now it's done. He's in this process for a while as he retrains his system to respond to an emotional stimuli in a new way. So I want to ask you, Charlotte, often men feel like being vulnerable, naming their emotional experience, is emasculating, and it makes them be felt as weak or as girly or as sissy. And men are not given permission often to talk about their emotional experience. How do you feel like men can navigate that space of being more vulnerable and emotionally open while feeling like their masculinity is intact?
That's a beautiful question. And I think it's key to what he did so well here. And I love that he names at the end of that this is a strength. And he really wanted to let us know that and share this information so that other people could benefit from it. And there's a feeling in your body when you are being truthful and you're telling the truth. And there's a kind of coherence. There's a strength that you can feel within your body if you're paying attention, as opposed to when you're hiding or withholding or lying a little bit in order to keep up the perception of masculinity that we're taught and fed over and over again culturally.
Well, if you haven't listened to our episode on intimacy, definitely go back and listen to that one, because we kind of pull apart this word of intimacy and talk about letting people into your inner truth and how to do that in a more deliberate way. And it feels like here he could have made the choice just to, you know, feel embarrassed about his lack of erection and make excuses for it and choose not to have sex, which is what a lot of people do.
And just go get private about
it. And then maybe have sex to porn and they can get erections there. And then, you know, it causes that breakdown in a relationship because someone is pulling away from the sexual experience rather than owning what their truth about that sexual experience is. And for him, by saying, I'm having a hard time getting hard because I'm feeling jealous and I'm feeling vulnerable and I feel like you might want to be with other guys.
And I really want you.
And her saying, no, I want you. I'm with you. And as I said, completing that circuit, they were able to transform that. And so it's really this demonstration of how a relationship can be made or break. Made or broken. Make or break moments. It's a make or break moment in relationships when we choose to be honest about what's going on versus withhold that truth and distance and then create all of those future repercussions. But men have to choose how to do this. And as you said, it's like, how do you language it? How do you embody it in a way that's honest and just from a place of strength? Like, this is what's going on for me. This is what I'm experiencing. Can you be with me here? Versus coming at it from a place of, and maybe it's okay to be a puddle of emotion sometimes. I don't want to make that wrong either. But if men are struggling with this, of how do I own my truth in a way that I still feel strong, I think you need to find a way of voicing it and languaging it and maybe going to see a therapist. So you triangulate that conversation and you're guided in that conversation a little bit. For a lot of men, therapy becomes a safe place to be with their emotions because it's what you're there for.
And if you don't have a lot of experience doing that on your own, just having a support, you know, just having a support can feel really helpful.
Yeah.
Because I think the other thing, the other piece around voicing what you're feeling as a strong thing to do, when we don't do that, it can often, it gets thwarted and can get leaked out in other ways. Like,
oh yeah, so messy.
It can get really messy. So I think that's a valuable piece.
But I think men have to find their own language for it. I just listened to this teaching by a therapist that worked with the firefighters and first responders after 9/11.
Oh, wow.
And they were having major psychological breakdowns, but none of them were talking to each other about the horrors they had witnessed and about the trauma of what they had gone through. They were all in this masculine superhero mode where they weren't naming what they were feeling. And he said, then their female partners would often be like, why aren't you talking to me? Share your truth. And in this female language, that they should know the words for what they're wanting to say. They should have the language for what they're trying to express. And what he was saying is a lot of guys, because of how we socialize men and boys, they don't have the vocabulary. They don't know the words to say for what they're feeling.
Mm.
And so you have to meet them where they're at and allow them to speak their truth, even if it's in the most rudimentary way of like, well, I feel angry. Okay, angry about what? Where do you feel that anger in your body? And this is where that emotional literacy and embodied emotional literacy comes in of, if boys and men are never given permission, never given space to have a language for their internal life, how are they expected to be fluent in that language? And so I think I just want to give men permission that it might not be easy to go to your female partner and gush your feelings out.
Right.
But you can say, it's not about you. I'm just distracted. Okay, distracted about what? And you can start baby stepping your way into having these conversations. And sometimes it's a really simple conversation that needs to happen, you know.
Yeah, but start with what feels true, even if it's a short sentence.
Yeah.
And maybe that can open something up.
Right. And around the erections, you know, we have all of this other advice of deprioritize intercourse for the moment. Make your erection not the superstar of the sexual experience. Learn how to use your hands and your mouth to totally pleasure your woman. And once you're in that sexual experience and you're seeing her get aroused and your attention is off of the erection, often then your arousal will overcome these distracting thoughts and you will find yourself with an erection and ready to have penetration. So there's all sorts of other advice here, but I think for this conversation, this idea of vulnerability, speaking your truth as a gateway to an entirely new sexual experience with your partner, to a new cycle forming, to retraining your body how to respond to things, being able to put honest language behind what your body is experiencing, your lack of erection, your premature ejaculation, all of that stuff. Like when your plumbing isn't working, if there's not a physical reason for it, and a really easy check here is, do you get morning erections? Do you get erections while you're masturbating? If the plumbing works there and it's not working with your partner, then you need to do this emotional inventory and start figuring out, is it shame? Is it anxiety? Is it fear? Is it guilt? And start giving that language and owning that. And most women are receptive to hearing this. And they're just worried that you're not finding them attractive. Like, meanwhile, the female partner is obsessed with, am I too fat? Do I not look good? Am I not good enough lover? Right? So she's in her own emotional spin out. You're in yours. And you need to bridge that with an honest conversation.
Amen.
Yeah. And if you need assistance in this, email us. We can help you. We're always here for you. And we love hearing from you. We want to know what you're struggling with and your success stories. And I love getting emails like this, where it's a little report from the field.
Yeah.
This is what I was struggling with. This is what I tried. It worked or it didn't work. Or this is what happens. This is how our community can educate each other over time.
I also feel like I'm assuming that he is a listener because he's using terms like arousal panic. And like, it feels like there's a lot of sexual literacy that's actually within this email. So I feel like he's learnt, or you have learned a lot about all these different components. And this is the beautiful thing, seeing how that...
Well, often in these emails, there's a paragraph gushing about the podcast and thanking us. And I sometimes edit that out because it feels like the toot your own horn thing. Like, we don't all need to hear that all the time. Thank you for listening. We are happy that you're here. We are happy that we are creating a language, a vocabulary together. And keep sending us your stories. And the cool part about the Erotic Essentials now and all of our online courses is we are now on a platform where you can comment right amongst the courses. You can talk about your experience with the strategies, and I want more of that. And you don't have to use your real name when you sign up for these courses. You can create a pseudonym so that you can comment freely. There's no way to track it back to who you are. And that's what I want to see more of, is engagement in the comments right on the course. And so when you read a section about female orgasm, you can then also read comments from women, from partners of women, about what's worked for them, what has been powerful. And if any of our strategies are a flop, I also want to know that. We put these strategies out there after 10 years of working with thousands of men, women, and couples, and seeing the patterns of what works, seeing the effective results. And that's what we centralize, are the things that are powerful and easy wins for people. We want you to put our strategies to work and be like, oh yeah, that felt good. Great. And when things don't feel good, we also want to hear about that. What didn't work? What do you need to adjust? What are the nuances we need to articulate? So we are all learning this together. We are now 11 years into Pleasure Mechanics. We are going strong. We need your support to keep going. Come on over to pleasuremechanics.com. Sign up for the Erotic Essentials. Enroll in the mastery courses. And another way of supporting us is through our Patreon page. Patreon, patreon.com/pleasuremechanics. All one word, and you will find our Patreon page where you can support us with a monthly donation of $5 a month, $10 a month, and help keep the lights on here at the Pleasure Mechanics headquarters so we can continue to be sexual superheroes for the universe.
And create free education that hopefully makes a huge difference to your sex life.
Yes. We hear all the time from people who are like, I've listened to every single one of your podcasts and it's totally changed my life and saved my marriage.
And saved me thousands of dollars in therapy.
Right. Great.
Please feel free to support
us. Please feel free to support us. If you are just listening to this podcast, we love that you're listening. But it would be great if you could throw a few dollars our way through the Patreon or sign up for an online mastery course and really rock your own world and help us feed ourselves and our child at the same time. All right. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics.
Wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.
Love you.